The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Well, it has been a long time. Not a long time since you've heard the show, but a long time since we've been live. And we're live tonight. Not only are we live, we are once again giving away a fabulous prize to a lucky listener from Sports Sheets. It's really easy to win. You can call us, you can post a question or a comment on our social media, you can email us a question, and you're automatically entered to win a fantastic prize tonight. So give us a call, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. I want to wish everyone a happy winter solstice. That's right. Tomorrow, December 21st, is the solstice. And of course, as you probably know, next week is Christmas. So for those of you who celebrate, I want to wish you an early Merry Christmas. I know that this time of year can be, at least for me, a little overwhelming, whether you're into Christmas or not. I mean, there's the music playing in every single store that you go into, and there are these like 24-hour shopping marathons, the insane commercialism. It's all a little much. So I wanted to do something a little different to celebrate the season. And I admit, this is not going to be a traditional Christmas celebration, because tonight on the show, we are going to feature both biblical and Christmas-themed erotica. I mean, this is partially inspired by Time's Person of the Year, of course, the person everyone's talking about, the new Pope. There's been a lot of buzz around this new Pope because he's different than these other old popes. And I think a lot of the commentary about him has been right on. It seems like the new Pope is kind of rebranding Catholicism. And I appreciate that he's spoken out and said, you know, we need to stop focusing on everything that we're against and talk about what we're for. And I appreciate his personal demeanor and style. He seems quite different, quite accessible. But of course, the Catholic Church has a pretty long way to go before we get to a place where it is truly progressive, especially when it comes to women, GLBT folks, and sex, which is why I realized tonight we're going to be a little bit irreverent. And so I hope that you will take this little journey with us and not be too offended. I think my first guest probably knows he has offended a few folks, but let me tell you about him. His name is Matthew Stillman. He's a born and bred New Yorker, and he ran program development at the Food Network for many years. He conceived of and produced his first film, The End of Poverty, and it premiered at Cannes and went on to 40 film festivals. He's spoken at the UN 4 different times about the film. So harnessing a lifetime with literature, inner spiritual work from different traditions, creativity, and play, he has written Genesis Deflowered in a genre that he may have just made up. He calls it biblical erotica. And the book is written in Elizabethan English. Okay, so let's just take a deep breath and swallow, take all that in as I welcome him. So, hi, Matthew.
Hi, Tristan. Thank you again for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I've got to say, when I first got this book, well, when I first heard it even existed, I took a little step back because, truthfully, it's hard to surprise me. I mean, it's hard to shock me. It's hard to show me something I've never seen before.
Yes.
And you have done just that. You have created smut out of the Bible, of all things.
Correct. Oh, I'm so proud to have broken a boundary for you. Amazing.
Well, the Bible to me is most often used, I feel like, as a weapon against sex and sexuality, especially any kind of alternative sex and sexuality. So what made you choose it as the source of inspiration for your erotica?
Well, religion and love get along incredibly well, and religion and sex historically don't, certainly Christianity. But if you look at the Bible, and Genesis in particular, it's absolutely laden with sexual innuendo, sexual stories, but they're just sort of breezed over. And so for me, I think it's actually really important that sex and religion find a way to sort of become friends. But the way that I decided to do this is I was helping a friend write an article about strange erotica, and I was digging around on Amazon, and I found, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff like, you know, I'm a troll, impregnate me, and Mr. Snowman, please make love to me, like whatever it happens to be. But I found an erotic retelling of Mary getting pregnant. And it was embarrassing. It was mortifying on all levels. Like the spelling was terrible. Everything about it was bad.
So it was just bad writing, you mean?
Yeah, on every level it was bad. But it had, for the short story, and I read the sample of it, for the short story there were almost 30 reviews. And all the reviews were glowing. And in short, what they said was, this turned me on and it made me love Jesus more. And I thought that was an amazing conflation of those two primal urges, which I think is a spiritual urge is a very primal urge, and the sexual urge is a very primal urge. And I thought that was fantastic, but I couldn't believe that it was done so badly. And I thought, I can do better. I love the King James Bible. It was the Bible that I was raised with when I was a kid. I wasn't raised particularly religious, but it was the Bible that I had. And I thought I could do this better and really respect the text by writing it in a biblical style, in that chaste, restrained, poetic style, and could sort of elevate it in a new way.
So why did you write it in this Elizabethan English?
Well, I think that in order to play fairly, you have to meet something on its own ground. It would be very easy to sort of like stick a finger in the eye of the Bible and say, Adam fucked Eve in her wet pussy and took the apple and like jammed it in her, like just totally irreverently undid the whole tradition. But for me, what was more important was to write it in this restrained way, in the same way that a sonnet or a haiku can elevate what you're writing about just by the structure alone, by its constraints. Having to write in Elizabethan English made me think, well, how could you actually, what would they have said if they were a little bit less chaste? Because there are, in Genesis alone, nearly 500 sexual situations which are suggested, but none of them are described, and none of them are initiated by women, which seems impossible. So for me, part of this was to not only inject sex, but also to give women names and agency where they hadn't had it before.
Yes, well, there is a sort of a feminist bent to your interpretation in this book. As you say, I think you start with these sort of implications, this implied sex, and then you take it from there. And I want to give people a taste of what we're talking about. So you're going to read from the book, yes?
Yeah, I will. So just to, as one very, very simple example. So everyone knows Adam and Eve. You don't need to be religious to have heard of Adam and Eve. But right here in the very beginning of the Bible, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, as if for the first time. The curse of the Lord God was lifted as Adam lifted the skins upon his Eve and gazed upon her nakedness. And she held tightly upon his stem and licked his breast with great hunger, as the bee licks the blossom. And then Adam bound Eve in his arms, and their secrets cleaved unto each other. Their seed knew each other, and they knew the garden for that day. And from this she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then she again shared her nakedness with Adam, and she held tightly upon his staff. And the staff stood for the waters, and Adam bared his breast in his desire for Eve. And he entered her thighs in his mount, and they both knew the garden together. And in time she bare Cain's brother Abel."
I love the word mount. I'm just going to say that right now. That's my favorite part of that whole piece.
Ox, yes.
I love the word mount. But then also there's something quite reserved about it.
Absolutely. It's completely reserved.
Yeah, because it's like there's this, you're still using some metaphorical language, like they knew the garden.
Yes.
Rather than kind of constantly going right for the jugular, or where erotica gets very, very, very explicit.
Yeah, I found that was really freeing to not have to always think of creative words for being wet, for being hard. I could actually go the poetic route, because that's what the English translators of the Bible did, was they drew heavily upon the poetry, and it really is a book of poetry written in prose. So in that regard, I mean, it was really fun and freeing. And in the section that I just read, obviously I added parts, but also there are parts that I didn't change at all. And that's part of I've been fortunate enough to show this to some very religious people who said, I'm not always sure where you started and where the Bible picks up. And so for me, that's an ultimate compliment, because I wanted to sort of, you know, merge right into each other. You can't always tell.
But have you gotten backlash about this? I mean, have people gone on Amazon, you know, these very, very super religious people, and said that this is blasphemy, said it's sacrilegious, said this is off limits?
I've gotten some veiled death threats. Sort of like, if I wasn't Christian, I'd come after you, sort of things. Someone spray painted the front of my house with the word blasphemy.
What?
Yeah, it's true. It was in the newspapers and everything. I can send that to you. It's true.
Oh my God.
So,
they're serious.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Harlem in New York, and that's sort of the Bible Belt of New York City. And, you know, I made an appearance on Fox News where they were actually sort of friendly, and that got a little bit of press, and I think that's probably where it came from. But yeah, so I've had some backlash, absolutely. But I've had plenty of people who are religious come to me and say, I wish I had this book when I was a kid, because I sort of always imagined that there must have been something to this.
Right, right. Okay, well, I want you to take us to commercial with just another little nugget from this book, which, you know, I think people by now, you realize out there, this could make a really good Christmas gift.
Oh my God. Well, just, I mean, of course, the classic thing to know about the Christmas gift is that Jesus was crucified on a cross, but that cross was allegedly grown in the Garden of Eden. So there's this whole truth. So this is very much related to the Christmas story.
Uh-huh.
But the very first threesome in the Bible is, and again, I didn't add this, there's a threesome that's described in the very first few chapters of Genesis, and I'll read you from the first biblical threesome. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So then unto Enoch was born Erod, and Erod begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And in the tent they lay with each other. Lamech upon his knees knew the secrets of Ada, and Zillah delighted in the breast of Ada, as Lamech took the plow to the fertile land of Ada. And the liver of Ada shook as they saw the garden together. And the seeds of Lamech scattered in the land of Ada. And then Zillah came upon Ada and tasted of her mouth and polished neck and found her secret with her hand. And by her hand did they journey to the garden. Lamech touched the faces of Ada and Zillah, and then he rested. And Zillah parted the thighs of Ada and tasted of her nakedness until they saw the garden. And Zillah woke Lamech so that she might be filled for her hunger. And Zillah and Ada hid the rod amidst their breasts and drank of the staff of Lamech as he anointed them. And Lamech pressed into the waters of the land of Zillah and scattered his seed there. And that night Lamech and Ada and Zillah rested together in the garden.
There you have it, folks. The first threesome in the Bible, as interpreted, of course, in this biblical erotic book, Genesis Deflowered by Matthew Stillman. Thank you, Matthew, for being on Sex Out Loud.
My pleasure, Tristan. Thanks so much. The book's available on Amazon.
So you can go get that book, and you can find out more about Matthew at stillmansays.com or follow him on Twitter at stillmansays, which is STILLMANSAYS. Coming up next, we are going to continue this little journey, people, and have a superstar of the erotica world, Allison Tyler, who has edited not one, but two Christmas-themed erotica books. We will talk to her after this break.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are celebrating Christmas just a little bit early with a Christmas-themed erotica show tonight. Now, you still have time to go out there and get your loved ones some great gifts if you, in fact, celebrate Christmas. And one great place to go is Good Vibrations. At one of their many stores in the San Francisco Bay Area or in Brookline, Massachusetts, or online at goodvibes.com. While you're there, you can use coupon code TristanGoodVibes, all one word, for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. And they've been having fantastic sales leading up to the holidays, really great prices on really top quality products. So you've got to check it out. You've got to go there, see the good deals you've got, and then get another deal on top of that. Okay, let me tell you about our next guest. Oh, but let me first say we've been getting your tweets. We've been getting your Facebook comments. Please keep them coming because, as you know, if you leave a question or a comment on our social media or if you call us, you could win a prize tonight from Sportsheets. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Our next guest has been called a trollop with a laptop by the East Bay Express, a literary siren by Good Vibrations, and over-caffeinated by her favorite local barista. Allison Tyler has made being naughty a full-time job. Her sultry short stories have appeared in more than 100 anthologies, including Sex for America, Liaisons, and Bedding Down. She's also the editor of tons of anthologies, including the Merry XXXmas Book of Erotica and Naughty or Nice Christmas Erotica Stories. She has been on the show before, and we've known each other for many, many years. She is literally one of the most talented and prolific erotica writers and editors working today. I'm so glad to welcome you back to the show. Hi, Allison.
Hey. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really excited because you're one of the only people who's done this Christmas-themed erotica.
Well, actually, I think I was one of the first people. But can I give a plug to someone else?
Yes, plug okay. away.
So Summer Marsden on her blog today has a whole bunch of erotic Christmas stories, full length and shorts, from like all across the genre, like in UK writers and US writers and all sorts of different ones. And she just asked people to send her little blurbs. So if you go to summermarsden.blogspot.com today, you can see a whole list. But I think I was one of the first.
But you are one of the first, which is fantastic. Well, we've got questions already coming in, but I guess people heard that you were going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. Hello. And also they want to win it. They want a chance to win a prize, of
awesome.
Course.
Yeah.
So my first question comes from on Twitter from Eva, who says, how I'd like to ask you how to give erotica to a partner who usually doesn't read it. So this may be someone who's like, shy or reserved or isn't used to it? What would you recommend?
Okay, that's a good question. So like a first timer. I would say, I think one of the really coolest ways is to do it with audio erotica because you can give somebody something to listen to in their car or on, you know, on iPhones. And you can start with something, something more mild. Choose a theme that you think would work for your partner. But I think something about having someone read to you can be a different experience than reading to yourself. And when I started, there wasn't a whole lot of audio erotica out there. I actually did some voice work for erotica like way, way, way back in the day. But there is so much out there now. And so I think that you've so many different things to choose from.
Yeah, many of my books are available on audible.com. I know your books are.
Yes.
That's a great introduction, right?
Because somebody's whispering it to you, and you can share your favorites, and certain ones, you know, you can just program it ahead of time, like read chapter 7 or something, and choose your favorite things for your partner to hear.
Which of your books would you recommend to a total beginner?
All right, so that's another good question. So I'm very proud of my new novel, which is Dark Secret Love. And it follows the character's journey into a BDSM relationship, but it's sort of slow steps into it, so it's not just a giant leap. So I think that would be a pretty good beginning one.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to share some Christmassy erotica with us. Will you do that?
No, absolutely. I actually, I had one in mind, and then I thought, you know what? I want to read this story by Andrea Dale, and I was like desperate. I wrote her an email 2 hours ago, like, can I read your Queen of Christmas? And she got right back to me, so it's really exciting. And it's from the Naughty or Nice erotica book, which is the sequel that I did for Cleus. And they're available. Both Christmas books are $1.99 right now for Kindle, which is just crazy.
Like, yeah, that's a huge sale, people, and you don't even need to leave your house.
No, you can just get
it's
on
literally one click. And $1.99 for an entire full-length book of erotica. There are people selling stories for $1.99, one story, and this is a whole book.
I know. So it's a short time. I think it's just for December. So it's called The Queen of Christmas. It's by Andrea Dale. They called me the Queen of Christmas. I was the Queen of Christmas. I was the one who organized the carolers in full, proper Victorian clothing. I was the one who welcomed other caroling groups with wassail, candy canes, and stockings, lovingly hand-broidered, stuffed with goodies. I was the one who liberated the nativity scene that the city was retiring, so I was the one with life-size camels in my front yard. I was the one with the lighted, moving reindeer on the roof and the Santa who moved up and down the chimney. People came from miles around to see what the Queen of Christmas had in store this year. That is, until he moved across the street. He went pretty elaborate for Halloween, and I thought, fine, that's your holiday. But then Christmas rolled around. At first, his display seemed innocuous, mostly lights, lots of them, but all white. He might illuminate the neighborhood like it was midday, but all the better to see my yard, you know? Then one night, I heard the music. He'd cleverly hidden some impressive speakers in the bushes because I could hear the tunes with the window closed and the carols on my own stereo. So help me, my china rattled. We've all seen the Trans-Siberian Orchestra House, right? He'd recreated the damn thing. Impressive, yes, but it was seriously distracting from my own decorations. So I went over there and hammered on his front door, making his cranberry and ivy wreath bounce against the wood. Oh, hey, Shelley, he said. Of course he knew who I was. On December 1st, I deliver plates of hand-decorated sugar cookies to everyone in the neighborhood. And then, on the 5th, a schedule of all the local schools' pageants and concerts, printed on fur-scented paper. On the 15th, gingerbread men and eggnog. On the 21st, solstice candles, and, at the appropriate time, oil for Hanukkah. Never let it be said I don't respect all the winter holidays. See, now here's the other problem. I'd had my eye on Bradley St. Clair since the moment he moved into the neighborhood. He's one yummy-looking man, and he had my panties stamped from the start. I'd done some flirting, but I was waiting to make my move until after Twelfth Night, when things calmed down again. That didn't mean I hadn't masturbated more than once thinking about him, and I'd even dusted off a pair of binoculars to find out how much I could see across the street. Sadly, his bedroom was at the back of the house, and I was not enough of a peeping Tom to hide in his backyard bushes. Right now, he had on a long underwear top, with a convenient tear highlighting his chest and faded jeans that molded to his muscular thighs. Casual, but oh so sexy. He held a snifter of brandy in one hand, and his dark hair was rumpled. For a long moment, I forgot why I'd stormed over there. I forgot that I'd stormed, even. I was too busy staring at him, my nipples at greater attention than the tin soldiers in the Nutcracker. Salute me, baby. Then I realized he was talking, and I couldn't hear him over the damnable music. Turn it down, I shouted. What? Oh, right. He turned a knob just inside the front door, and the orchestra from hell retreated a few thousand decibels. Come on in, he said. Want some brandy? Well, damn, I wasn't about to turn that down. That's some display, I said as he poured my drink. I meant the lights and music, but the sight of his fine ass as he bent over to pick up the cap he dropped was something to behold. Thanks, he said. He handed me the drink and sat down next to me. He smelled kind of piney, kind of cinnamony, like Christmas. I squirmed in my seat. It was hot in here, and not just from the fire crackling in the fireplace. I've been working on the specs for a couple years, he continued. The electrical engineering degree finally came in handy for something interesting. It's really loud, I said, cursing myself for sounding like someone's mother at a rock concert. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm still smoothing out the details. I didn't realize how far the sound carried. He didn't look abashed or repentant, although I didn't doubt the sincerity of his apology. He was simply acknowledging his mistake, confident that he could fix the problem. Maybe it was the brandy, or the heat off his tight bod, or the glint of a tiny gold hoop in his right ear. whatever. I accepted his apology, and I don't remember much of the conversation after that. Something about our mutual love of the season. He liked my chimney-climbing Santa, was impressed by my mechanical ability. Cool, go me. Do you mind if I lean in and just inhale you? I caught myself before I did anything stupid. I had the holidays to get through before I could allow myself to move into full-on seduction mode. And besides, he was still pissing me off a little. Best intentions and all that. I was standing in his foyer, pulling on my faux fur-cuffed leather gloves for the chilly tromp across the street when I clued into his wolfish grin. What? He tilted his head up. I followed his gaze and saw the mistletoe dangling from the amber arts and crafts light fixture. Aw, hell. He kissed with the same confidence he'd shown when talking about his engineering expertise. One hand loosely threaded through my hair, keeping me against him. His lips moved against mine, his teeth nipping my lower lip, and then his tongue darting out to soothe. I felt that kiss all the way down to my clit, and then some. I was pretty much ready to hop up and wrap my legs around his waist in preparation for him carrying me off to some soft surface where he could ring my jingle bells when he eased away. Happy holidays, Sally, he said. Oh, yeah. I was sure they'd be happy, all right. And once they were over, I don't know if you want me to keep going. There's more, much more.
No, I think that's a good tease. I mean, people have to get the book to find out what else happens.
Yeah, I just love the way
she
writes.
No, that was fantastic.
And she wanted me to say that it's also available in a collection called Sexy in Your Stocking, which is 12 erotic tales for the holidays.
See, you started a trend.
Yeah, with stories by Andrea Dale, Teresa Noel Roberts, and Sophie Mouette, and published by Little Kisses Press. I was really excited that she let me.
Fantastic. Now, we've got one more question for you before I let you go. It's from Ryan on Twitter, who says, when writing erotic stories, what is more important to you, the overall story or the sex scenes?
Oh, the overall story, definitely. I mean, when I'm writing them, I wonder now, when I'm writing them or when I'm reading them?
I think when writing, he says when writing.
Yeah, when I'm writing, because I usually have an idea for a story, and the sex will come to it, but the story is usually about more than the sex, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me, and I know as a reader, I also think if you could have an amazingly sexy, hot story, sex scene, but if the story around it is sort of flimsy or doesn't make sense,
yeah,
then it feels clunky and weird.
And often for me, I'm not actually sure exactly where the sex is going or even how it's going to go because the characters sort of tell me as I write them. So I have a story that I'm working on right now where somebody brings a videotape over and he's showing the videotape to the person telling the story. And until the tape played, I didn't know that the narrator was going to be on the tape. So I don't plan those things out until they appear.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I really appreciate you being on our Christmas-themed show, Allison, and I wish you happy holidays.
Oh, you too, Tristan. Thank you so much.
Allison Tyler's latest books are Sudden Sex and The Big Book of Bondage, which comes out in January. Connect with her online at allisontyler.com or allisontyler.blogspot.com. Follow her on Twitter at Allison Tyler. And remember the Kindle versions of her books, the Merry XXXmas Book of Erotica and Naughty or Nice, are currently on sale on Amazon for only $1.99. So check those out. And coming up next, we're going to welcome a contributor to both of those Christmas books, the author Thomas Roche. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We are live tonight and celebrating with a little naughty Christmas episode. You can give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And if you do that, or if you hit us up on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio or on Facebook, facebook.com/AskTristan, you could win a prize from Sportsheets. So talk to me, people. And speaking of prizes, one thing that goes really nicely with all this erotica, which I know you want to buy for your loved ones for the holidays, is Astroglide. Astroglide lube makes sex better. I especially love their natural version and their sensitive skin gel, which is one of their newer products. They both contain botanicals and no parabens and no glycerin. Go to astroglide.com for a free sample or to get your own little bottle. Our next guest is Thomas Roche, who has been writing professionally since the 80s. He has written more than 400 published short stories in many different genres, including science fiction, fantasy, horror, and crime noir. But he's best known for his work under several different names in short erotic fiction. His most recent book is The Panama Laugh, a paramilitary science fiction zombie apocalypse about viral media. And that book was a finalist for the Bram Stoker Award from the Horror Writers Association. Roche has served as marketing manager at Good Vibrations and also worked for Alt.com, The Eros Guide and Eros Zine, TinyNibbles.com, a bunch of places. Now he is publisher and editor-in-chief of the ebook erotica publisher Deception Press. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Thomas.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It has been a million, gazillion, billion years since we have seen each other in the flesh, you and I, but we know each other from way back in the day.
From way back in the day when I was at Masquerade Books writing novel-length erotica for them.
Yeah, I mean, I dare say you were one of the original. I mean, you were one of the really early pioneers in this. Writing not only erotica, but erotica that also crossed a bunch of different genres.
Yeah, definitely the genre erotica thing. There had just started to be a movement toward horror erotica. Circlet Press in Boston had started doing science fiction erotica. And so I got the idea to do crime noir erotica, and I'd contributed at that point. Also, there was Blue Blood, which was one of the real early magazines.
Oh, my God. I love Blue Blood. Yes, yes.
So there was just starting to be this movement toward, I guess, what you would call I guess I would say that that was the beginning of what I would call geek culture. So the same people who are sort of, you know, now my age, which is incredibly old, and we're now sort of like, I would say that on some level that culture dominates really pop culture. I mean, science fiction and fantasy are much more popular than they used to be because a whole generation grew up on it. And that was right when sort of the rising popularity of porn was starting to be seen. And people who were writing literary erotica, like me, were writing more stuff that was not based in, you know, realistic fiction necessarily, but was really, you know, a big part of fantasy. So it's kind of an interesting time.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been around, you know, to see the evolution of it.
Yeah.
But tonight we are all about Christmas. And you've actually contributed stories to both of the Christmas-themed anthologies that Allison Tyler edited. And I heard you're going to share one with us.
I am. I'm going to read Here Comes Santa Claus, which is in the Merry Xmas book of erotica. And it concerns a young woman who's not having a very good Christmas so far. But she has a good one with some the help of some friends. So it's called Here Comes Santa Claus. It took Emma until Richmond Station to stop fuming. Why did she always forget about how much Christmas pissed her off? The required shopping for holiday gifts irritated her, but the real ball-busting started when she showed up at her parents' place for Christmas. If it hadn't been the repeated quizzing from her grandmother about when and whether she planned to get married, she was a sophomore in fucking college, for Christ's sake. It would have been the comment by her mother about how women who expected to go anywhere in life shouldn't really tart themselves up like punk rock sluts. This year it was the nose ring. Last year it had been the bleach blonde hair. Emma felt particularly foolish because she'd dyed her hair a chestnut brown just a week ago in anticipation of the Christmas holidays. She thought Mom had gotten over the nose ring, but in fact she seemed to have been saving it to comment on at a really inopportune time. In any event, if Emma hadn't already been so annoyed already, her lecherous Uncle Fred's dirty jokes and Aunt Tiffy's predictable tendency to drink herself into a celebratory stupor, punctuated by the reliving of family trauma from 1965, would really have gotten her going. Luckily, Emma herself had slung back a few Jack and Ginger, so by the time the two sisters began arguing about the disposition of their beloved Cadillac convertible circa 1958, she was happily in the arms of Morpheus, freezing to death on the chase lounge out on the back porch. Luckily, the sun came out, and Emma narrowly avoided frostbite. When she transferred off of Amtrak, Emma decided not to go straight back to the dorms. It was Saturday, and almost no one would be home from Christmas break just yet. She didn't particularly want to socialize, but she didn't want to be alone either. She decided she had an errand to run. She'd taken the noon train. It was the earliest she could get any of her crazy relatives to drive her to the station. When she got off the local train and trudged up the street past shivering homeless folks, she was seized by middle-class guilt and started distributing her quarters. By the time she arrived at the sex toy store, she was on the edge of desperation. The place was deserted. It was the Saturday after Christmas, and no one was thinking about sex, apparently, except her. The shop was staffed entirely by women who made the pierced and plaid-skirted Emma look like a member of the Republican National Committee. Three clerks, one kind of butch, another purple-haired goth chick, and then another dark-skinned trans woman in improbable heels, were leaning against the counter looking bored. "Hi," said the young woman. "Can I help you find something?" "I need the dirtiest sex toy you have," Emma blurted, dropping her army green duffel near the door. "How do you mean dirty?" Emma tried to clarify and got pretty much nowhere. "I don't mean dirty, dirty. I don't want it actually dirty. I mean, I don't know what I mean. I want something really extreme. I mean, badass. About $100 I have to spend?" "Christmas money," said the trans woman knowingly. "You know it," said Emma. All three employees nodded. Rough time with the parents. Emma slumped into an armchair next to the counter and looked up miserably. "You want to buy something to take care of yourself," one of the women said. "Yeah, I guess that's a more positive way to put it. Something filthy." Several moments of silence passed before the butch dyke piped up with a smile. "Filthy is all in the mind." "Oh, I know," said Emma, "but right now my mind says filthy, filthy, filthy." "All right, then," said the goth chick helpfully. "What does filthy mean to you?" The flush went to Emma's cheeks, and she felt her nipples hardening inside the sweater she wore. "Maybe I just need a really big dick," said Emma, as if thinking to herself. The trans woman came around behind the counter. "Common sentiment, but make sure your eyes aren't bigger than your appetite. Would you like to see some samples?" Emma awkwardly followed the trans woman around the store, viewing several walls worth of phallic toys and hearing a lecture about the relative merits of silicone versus jelly rubber. She tried very hard to listen politely and not keep looking back at the thick-headed cock with its beckoning veins and stiff shaft. When the tour was finished, Emma cleared her throat and said, "I think I'll take the big one." "Excellent choice," said the trans woman, clearly impressed. "I'll get the one from the back," said the butch dyke. "And of course, don't forget the lube," said the goth woman helpfully from across the room. "I was getting to that," said the trans woman, flourishing her hand Vanna White style over the impressive white wall of lube bottles. Since the dildo Emma wanted was well under $100, she spent the rest of her Christmas money on numerous bottles of lube and a glossy fetish magazine of pinup models being spanked. Caught her eye. The total came to $101.53. Emma fished around for dimes and pennies and gave the trans woman exact change. "And since you've topped $100, said the trans woman, she put the toy lubes and magazine into a box, "you get one of our seasonal gifts." She produced a Santa hat with the logo of the store, a woman pleasuring herself. "Now that is filthy." "I thought you'd like it," said the trans woman with a wink. "Come again." Emma thanked the three men and left the store, feeling rather uncomfortable heat growing inside her as she noted the daunting weight of the toy in her bag. Maybe her eyes had been bigger than her appetite. The dorms were completely deserted, as Emma figured had they would be. It was just as well, because she had spent the whole bus ride thinking about what she was going to do with that big cock when she got back to her dorm room. There weren't many PG-rated thoughts left in her head. Emma felt sweaty from the overheated bus and the many layers of winter clothes piled on her, but she couldn't bear the thought of running down the hall to the shared bathroom to shower. Instead, she just upended the plain brown bag over her dorm room bed, which she'd irresponsibly left unmade when she departed for the holiday. She didn't care right now. The dildo looked an awful lot bigger and a lot more thickly veined in this light, even with no smaller, smoother dildos to compare it to. Just handling the big thing and unrolling a condom over its massive length turned Emma on. She felt incredibly naughty, knowing she'd spent her family Christmas money on what was presumably the biggest dick she would ever let get anywhere near her. Emma stripped off her clothes and began to rub her clit. She opened the fetish magazine and leafed one-handed through page after page of fetching retro-clad pinup girls bent over men's and women's knees. She felt her pleasure mounting as she rubbed her clit faster. Then she turned the page and saw something that sent that surge of excitement through her. It was a picture of a woman in a latex elf costume bent over Santa's knee. Her tight-fitting green latex dress was pulled up to her waist, and Santa's hand was connecting with her full, rounded, lace-clad buttocks, squarely between her emerald green garters. "Oh, that's filthy," said Emma out loud. She remembered her hat. She put on the Santa hat and grabbed her hand mirror from the nightstand. She looked at herself in it, admiring the way she looked as she frantically rubbed her clit. Approaching her orgasm quickly as she looked from the mirror to the naughty elf and back again, Emma tossed the mirror on her pillow and reached for the dildo. "Make it real, Santa," she said. "I think I'll stop there. There's some more that happens, but that gets you to the point."
That gets us very to the point. Well, thank you, Thomas. I wish we could talk some more, but we're out of time and you leave us with that image, which is very festive. I'm going to go with festive.
Festive is good, yes. Some other time, though. Thank you very much for having me. It was great to be on the show.
Well, I'm going to have you back on when your new book comes out in February.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
So Thomas Roche has an upcoming collection of his own erotic horror, crime noir erotica, and dark erotica. It doesn't yet have a title, but he says it's going to be out in time for Valentine's Day 2014. So you should probably follow him on Twitter at Thomas Roche, R-O-C-H-E, or on Facebook.com/Skid Roche. Coming up next, I have updates for you, and I may take a listener question or two. So stay with us.
Live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Well, kids, I mean, not kids, of course, because there's no children listening, but I meant that, you know, just in a loving way. Our time is almost up here on the special Christmas edition of Sex Out Loud. I have a few more things to tell you. First, the WeVibe 4 is now out. If you have someone special in your life who loves to get the newest, best technology, then they need to have the newest, best technology in their vibrator. And that is the WeVibe 4. Find out more at WeVibe.com. I also want to say there's still time to submit to present at the 2014 Feminist Porn Conference at the University of Toronto, April 5th to 6th, 2014. I invite academics, students, cultural critics, sex workers, activists, fans, performers, directors, producers, submit to present. You can read the guidelines and get all the information at fpcon.org. And the deadline for submissions is December 23rd, 2013. Next month, I'm headed to Burbank for the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, and I will be recording live interviews for Sex Out Loud at the Pleasure Works booth all day on Saturday, January 11th. And as part of that, I'm going to be taking questions from anyone on the show floor who wants to ask. And if you ask me a question on the air during the show, you may win a prize. Finally, the lineup of speakers and presentations for CatalystCon East was just announced, and Sex Out Loud will return to record shows in front of a live studio audience. CatalystCon East is March 14th to the 16th, 2014 in Arlington, Virginia. Go to catalystcon.com and you can use coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. I've been teasing it the whole show, and now I'm going to pick a winner. The winner of a fantastic prize from Sport Sheets, this week it is a sexy slave kit, is Katrina Elise. Katrina Elise, you've been tweeting about us and you've won a prize. So email me your mailing address and we will get you your great prize from Sport Sheets. I want to thank my guests for this evening, erotic writers Matthew Stillman, Allison Tyler, and Thomas Roche. As usual, links to their work and their social media are up at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, my usual engineer Matt, and my replacement today, Michael, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. It's free. That could be your gift to someone this holiday season. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Dr. Cheryl Cohen Green, the author of An Intimate Life, Sex, Love, and My Journey as a Surrogate Partner. She's the person who inspired the film The Sessions, and she was actually played by Helen Hunt. That's going to be a fascinating, fascinating discussion. So until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Even during the holidays, folks, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.